9 minutes past the hour. It's a Monday morning. Good morning. I hope you're doing well. Teresa Tamio with you. The program is Catholic Connection. It's hard to believe. Yes, indeed. I'm still fighting putting all of my patio furniture away, but it is hard to believe that Halloween, All Saints, All Souls Day, all those things coming up this week. My goodness, time flies. On the phone with us this morning is Donna Marie Cooper O'Boyle. She's a Catholic writer, best-selling author, and she's also a very well-known speaker, and she has a terrific blog for mom. She has a really cool website. And she joins us about once or twice a month with her Mom's Corner segment to kind of help moms deal with some of the things out there in the culture. And of course, this week we've got Halloween, but there's also a lot of great things about this week too because of the feast days in the Catholic Church. Good morning, my sister. How are you?
Good morning, Teresa. Great. Except we had frost this morning. I'm not ready for that.
Yeah. No, don't say it.
I know.
Not yet.
I'm not putting my patio furniture away, by the way. I'm leaving it out for a while.
You are making a protest. Taking a stand.
I refuse. I need to sit out there even with a blanket around me. I need to get out there in nature.
Absolutely. Well, let's talk about this week. First, Halloween. We had Bert Gezzi on talking about the history of it last week and, you know, what parents can do. But what would you suggest as a mom, and what have you come across, you know, raising your own children?
Well, I'm sorry I missed Bert's segment. That would have been nice to hear. Well, the problem is Halloween is such a controversial holiday because it stems from the pagan practices and superstitions, you know, way back when. So this, because of this, so many Christian and Catholic parents fear celebrating it because they don't want to support, you know, a pagan ritual. And some see harm in it because of that, and some feel that, you know, there's no harm in jack-o'-lanterns, innocent costumes, trick-or-treating, and parties. And as a matter of fact, our parish, I mean, somebody might raise their eyebrows, I'm not sure, but we do a yearly haunted house, and the youth group and adult helpers do this, and they raise money for the retreats, and they contribute to charity. And it's all innocent fun. You know, they're not worshiping the devil or doing anything crazy. They're doing a fun thing, and it draws people there. And then some of the kids get interested in the youth group even. So, and I've talked to several moms who celebrate and some who don't. And one mom said that the reason we can enjoy Halloween is that the kids understand the difference between fairy stories and real life and between good and evil. She says she teaches them that through Jesus there is nothing to fear. And so, you know, it's all in a matter of your how you feel about it in your own family traditions. Mm-hmm. And some focus more on the saints and costumes of the saints, you know, for their
little
ones.
Which I think is really, really cute when
I
do that.
I do, too. And some moms have told me straight out, we'll do nothing scary, nothing sexy, that type of costume. They don't want to support that. I think parties are a good idea for safety and fun. And one year we did this neighborhood progressive dinner party where the kids actually came up with the idea. And we had one house, we had the appetizers, one house we had a dinner, you know, pizzas, and another house dessert. And we did games at each house. And it was a fun thing. And it kept them off the streets and it kept us all together. And so there's a lot of fun things that parents can do to keep their kids safe. And I'm planning to post a bunch of ideas on my Embracing Motherhood blog for, you know, Halloween safety, All Saints and All Souls. And I think if parents check out CatholicMom.com, they'll find, you know, lots of things. Also, CatholicCulture.org.
That's a great website.
Oh, it's great. They have, you know, good articles, good ideas. They even have recipes for Saints Days and All Souls Day and things like that. I found a great craft by Alice Gunther. I'll put this on my blog. She is a blogger herself of Cottage Blessings, and she's a new contributor to CatholicMom.com, and she has a little craft where she makes saints out of wooden ice cream spoons for homeschoolers and for any.
Cute.
Yeah, real cute. There's a simplicity pattern out that has nativity costumes, but they could actually be used for Halloween, you know, an angel, shepherds, kings, Mary, Joseph. I'll put that information up as well. But I think ultimately parents, you know, take control over their own family's traditions. Halloween can really be celebrated with fun and without paganism. So, you know, that's my opinion. Of course, everyone has to do what they feel is right. And the main thing is, you know, for children to be monitored, for them to be kept safe, and for the parents really to watch out for the mischief of the others, you know. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of basically my ideas for Halloween, so feel free to ask me any questions.
Sure, and let me put out the phone number, too, if anybody has any questions, 877-573-7825. Again, that's toll-free, 877-573-7825. And I remember when I was a reporter, I think I may have shared this story last week when Bert was on, but when I was a reporter for the ABC affiliate here in Detroit, and I used to go over to Sacred Heart Major Seminary, where they always had a nice trick-or-treat event for the kids. And the kids would come to the seminary dressed as one little girl came as a nun, and it was adorable. Oh. She had the full habit on. Another one came as Pope John Paul
II. Oh, that's so
it was just so adorable. And it was, you could really see that these kids were doing it out of honor, and they weren't making fun, but they were, you know, kids from the neighborhood who really appreciated the seminary, and they were coming there, and it was just so sweet. And I had the opportunity to interview them, and I'll never forget that, and that really left an impression on me. But the message you can send with the certain types of costumes.
Yeah, and you never know how it will affect someone. I have so many photos of my kids in saints' costumes growing up, and it's just so sweet to see, you know, one of them as St. Therese and someone as St. Joseph, and, you know, it's fun stuff, and it's great, and it's inspirational, too.
Let's talk about the other things that are coming up this week, All Saints' Day.
Yeah, well, All Saints' Day, as we know, is November 1st,
mm-hmm.
and follows Halloween, and it's a holy day of obligation, so we need to remember that.
Go to Mass, yep.
And our church celebrates all saints that day, canonized and beatified, plus the multitude of those in heaven that are the saints that are only known to God. So there are many, many saints in heaven, not just the ones that we recognize and we see in the books and we know about. And during the early centuries, the saints venerated by the church were just the martyrs. And later on, the Pope set out November 1st as the day commemorating all the saints. It used to be May 13th, but they changed it to November 1st. And there's a few things that, you know, you can do with your families. You can see some of these things on CatholicCulture.org or some of the other websites. I think Catholic Exchange probably has some things.
Mm-hmm.
Our SundayVisitor.com, I checked them out earlier, and there's some things there. But I'll put all these links on my blog, so it'll be easy just to check them out. You can visit the cemetery, which is very recommended. But let's teach our kids this isn't a scary or morbid thing to do. It's a good thing. And unfortunately, you know, kids are always afraid of the cemetery. You know, they hear all these stories about ghosts and somebody's going to pop out at them or something. But visiting the cemetery is a holy thing to do. It's a very good thing. And you could even just clean off the gravestone of a relative or put some flowers or just to go and say some prayers. And we're supposed to pray for the dead during the octave of All Saints Day, which is November 1st through November 8th. And the nice thing about that is you'll also gain a plenary indulgence for the souls in purgatory. And on other days, this would be a partial indulgence, that period of time. So this is a special time in the year, you know, to pray those special prayers for the dead. You can also pray the Litany of Saints with your children, with your family.
I love the Litany of Saints.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
You can find it in pretty much any prayer book. You can get it on the Internet, of course, through Catholic Culture or, you know, many Catholic websites would have that. Also participate, like we were saying, with the parish and dress up the kids as saints for one of the masses. A lot of times parishes will do this. So those are some of the things we could do on All Saints Day and teach our kids, you know, about the saints and why we have that day to venerate the saints and to pray for their intercession. And while we're teaching them that, we could explain the communion of saints, which I was going to talk a little bit about All Souls Day.
Yeah.
That the whole communion of saints, and it's really nice that we have All Saints Day on the 1st and All Souls Day on the 2nd, you know, which really focuses on that whole communion of saints, the faithful on earth, which is the church militant, the saints in heaven, the church triumphant. And the poor souls in purgatory, the church suffering,
right.
And with Christ as the head. So we're all bound together in a supernatural bond, and we're to help each other. So, you know, we teach the children that. We pray for the souls in purgatory, and then when they get to heaven, they'll actually pray for us. So, you know, we need to all help each other out. We're all in this communion of saints. So we can just explain these things to our kids so they know that why you're going to the cemetery, why you're going to church, why you're praying and asking help from these saints. And, you know, teach them as we go along so they won't be afraid of going to a cemetery. I mean, you hear all these scary stories, and the parents need to take the time and explain what's really going on so that they're not going to grow up, you know, not wanting to participate or to do these holy things that we're called to do, to pray for each other.
And you know that the communion of saints and the prayers of the saints, it's very biblical. And a lot of people don't realize that, but if you read the, Scott Hahn talks a lot about this in his writings, but if you read the book of Revelation, you see several times referring to the incense or the prayers of incense being the bowls of the saints, or the bowls of incense being the prayers of the saints. And one of my favorite scripture verses has come to be Revelation 5:8, which is talking about the angel offering prayers of the holy ones to God, and the bowls of incense being the prayers of the saints. And so this is a, you know, part of where we get, of course, we have tradition as well in the church, but part of where we get this teaching on the intercession and the communion of saints is right from scripture, because, you know, for whom are the saints praying? They're not praying for themselves. They have no wants or needs because they're in heaven. And the book of Revelation, you know, says specifically that they are praying, you know, around the throne of God.
Exactly. Yeah, that's a very good point. And then again, All Souls, the following day, November 2nd, is designated as the date to pray for the departed souls in purgatory. And because and the reason we pray for them is we want them to join the others in heaven as soon as possible. And I like the fact that these are back-to-back holy days to express the Christian belief of the communion of saints. So it's good to focus on that with our kids when we're at this time of year with Halloween and All Saints and All Souls.
And I think it's important, too, Donna, because I'm sure when you and I were growing up, and I know this has happened, I was talking about this to one of the gentlemen at the Marian conference that I was at yesterday morning. He was saying that he was teaching a catechism class, and so many kids say that their parents have told them that purgatory no longer exists, that the Catholic Church wiped that out. And I don't know how that rumor got started, so you know, that this teaching no longer existed in the faith.
Well, it's so sad. And I know sometimes people look at me funny when I talk about purgatory, too, and adults even. And, you know, people, I guess, don't really want to think about that, but we need to think about that. And the problem is if you just erase that, then who's going to be praying for the souls in purgatory, you know, or know that this could be where we will be someday, you know. And a lot of priests talk about how it's not bad to go to purgatory. This is great because you know you're going to get to heaven. I mean, we all want to go straight up, but, you know, we have to pray for those souls in purgatory. And, yes, there is a purgatory.
Which, again, is very biblical, which I didn't know until I started studying the Bible combined with the catechism, go figure. And there's several references, especially in 1 Corinthians 3:15, where St. Paul talks about you shall be cleansed but as through fire. And Jesus talking about in Matthew, you will not get out until you pay the very last penny. There are several references. And, of course, as Catholics in our Old Testament, we have the references that are in 1 and 2 Maccabees. But this is a great opportunity to teach about that.
Exactly. I remember seeing Mother Angelica recently, and it was a pre-recorded, you know, from in the past, and it was all about purgatory. And she said, stated several biblical references to purgatory. I jotted a bunch of them down because I wanted to use those for study and for, you know, an article or something. But, tons of references. But it seems like we're a people these days who don't want to be thinking about hell or purgatory.
Right. So. Right. But I think that goes just to the whole thing in life that we have, is people don't want to think about suffering or you know, having hard times. I think we need to teach our kids about that because it's just so important, the beauty of the Catholic faith and these things that we do still have in the faith.
Absolutely. And one of the things, speaking of suffering, is we need to teach them to make sacrifices. What the heck is a sacrifice? You
right.
know,
mm-hmm.
Who makes a sacrifice? You know, and probably nobody knows what the word mortification means, which we can go into at another time. But we also teach them to make little sacrifices, to give up some little thing, even if it's a piece of candy or maybe, you know, 10 extra minutes of TV that they would have had, you know, to give something up for the poor souls in purgatory. That's one of the things we can teach them to do is, you know, to pray and to make sacrifices. But no one wants to talk about a sacrifice anymore either. But also, a nice thing is priests are permitted to say three masses on All Souls Day. And many priests will do that. They'll say the actual three masses rather than have other priests do it for them. You know, each priest can do three masses. And the faithful are really encouraged to attend three masses on All Souls Day. Mm-hmm. People might not realize that and might think, well, that's kind of a lot to do, and maybe they can't do that. But if you are in a state of life where you possibly can do that, you can offer all of that grace to the souls in purgatory, which is a wonderful gift. So to at least try to get to one Mass on that day, and you are allowed to go to three Masses on that day and offer it for the poor souls. So, and remember, of course, your family and friends, and visit a cemetery if you can. And if you say the Lord's Prayer and the Creed at the cemetery, you may gain a plenary indulgence again under the usual conditions. And these are, again, for the souls in purgatory. So
now, you said you have all this information on your blog.
Yeah,
your
I'm good. Well, I'm going to put it all on later today. I'm going to post it all, and between now and Halloween, All Saints and All Souls. But I'll try to get it done this afternoon and by tomorrow morning. Lots of stuff that people could
Okay, great. So give us those two sites on the web.
Okay. My regular website is DonnaCooperO'Boyle.com, which is www.DonnaCooperO'Boyle.com. And I have two blogs, but the one we're talking about today is Embracing Motherhood. So it would be it's a long address. You could get to it from my main blog, my main website, rather, www.DonnaCooperO'Boyle.com.
Okay, great. Great advice, Donna. Thanks so much, because I think sometimes we've tended to put some of these things in our faith aside, maybe not, you know, not that we don't believe in them, but
right.
kind of like, oh, you know, I don't want to talk about that right now. Maybe my kids won't understand, but
yeah.
you give us some great ideas on how to share that with them.
Thank you.
All right, and we'll look forward to talking to you in November for Thanksgiving, and also, of course, lots to talk about is not only Thanksgiving, but the Christmas holiday approaches and so many beautiful feast days in the month of December, so we'll have lots to talk about as well. Good to speak with you again, sweetie.
Yeah, you too. Thanks so much, Teresa, for having me, and God bless your day.
You too.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. Donna Marie Cooper O'Boyle, author, speaker, and well-known and best-selling Catholic author, and of course, she has some wonderful writings on her blogs and also on her website. Her website, DonnaCooperO'Boyle.com, and to get the latest information, what she was talking about this morning regarding Halloween, All Saints, and All Souls Day.